Vans on Patrol time. It's Vans on Patrol time.
All right, man, the show is 180, episode 180, The Shape of Water to Fans on Patrol. And it's Fans on Patrol time. There's a little water there. I'm the host.
Oh, my God. I love it.
I'm the host of Fans on Patrol. My name is Montego Bradley. With me is back from the luckiness. Cue the heavy duty Vegas music. Yes, dude. Yes, boys and girls. She's back from the strip. It's Miss Tifflebot. How are you, Tiff?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Oh, shit. We're doing good now that you're back.
That's good.
And Mr.
SMOOVE, spelled smooth, not Dwayne.
Awesome. How are you been today, sir?
I'm feeling good. Got on my Kylo Ren sunglasses.
In the house, but it's cool. So, Tiff, man, how was your trip?
I had a really good time. I did a lot of really fun stuff, but I lost money. That's the way it goes. Spend the breaks.
You lost money?
Sure did.
Oh, boy. What about any hookers? You guys, you know?
Oh, we saw a lot of those, but, yeah. I mean, not personally, but I saw them with my eyeballs.
Oh, okay.
They were like, and also, it was the NCAA tournament.
Oh, okay.
So there was a lot more nude-ish people on the streets. I don't know if you've not been to Vegas, right?
I'm probably one of the few places I haven't been to. Yeah.
Well, typically there's one or two ladies on the street with just underwear and and pasties on, they're nude, basically. And there's just maybe like a handful of them, but this time there was tons of them because of the NCAA tournaments. They're all trying to make. So what they want you to do is take a photo with them and then give them money.
Sounds like Smooth's paradise over there, Dwayne. You missed it.
Yeah.
Oh shoot!
But we had a really good time. We did a lot of like really fun stuff and shopped and stuff like that. So it was really great. I mean, fun times.
Cool.
I wish I would have won and then I could come back and be rich, but nope.
Yeah, because if you probably just, you'd have fell off the map. Like, we know where Tifflebot is. We have no idea. Calling all cars. So let me tell the people about the good show, man. So this week we're going to talk a little Shazam. And we also got, always, some Star Wars news because it's just acting a fool with Star Wars, even though things keep happening when Star Wars movie comes out, they go more news. Yeah. And we got a little Luke Cage, a little something to talk about today. We're going to do a Facts on Patrol with a water theme.
Yeah, it's going to be moist.
Yeah. And we're back to Batman White Knight, number 5, because we're a little behind.
Yep.
So we're doing number 5 this week, and we'll probably hit number 6 next week. And then, man, we're going to do something we never did on the show. You know, the timing was perfect, and the movie was applicable. The Shape of Water, best picture winner, right, for the Oscars this week, last week. And so we didn't do it before, and so we said, hey, let's do something a little different. Let's do a number one movie, right?
Right.
And since it's a nerd thing, it's perfect, so we'll do that. So that's the show. So saying all that, you guys ready to get it on?
Yes, sir, on a Sunday.
Oh, you know what that means.
No cussing.
No cussing Sunday. Let's go.
Come fly with me, let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze.
All right, man, so DC has been doing you know, they revved up their production for the Shazam movie. And you know, everything is, you know, we haven't seen anything. They started doing the casting, right?
Right.
People had a lot to say about the star. Who was the star's name again? Tifflebot.
Oh, I don't remember.
Oh, you don't remember this?
It's not that. It's not the guy from the show.
It's the guy that used to play Ed.
Is that, oh, the guy from Chuck.
Yeah, the guy from Chuck, not Ed. Yeah,
I still would not have ever remembered that. I never watched that show.
Zachary Levi, you know, mm-hmm. Ron's Cypress Jones is in there, and Mark Strong is supposed to be in there, and Jack Dylan. So I'm talking about all this garbage because they people didn't snuck shots of the super suit, man.
Yeah,
and it looks exactly. Almost exactly like it did. It does in the comic book.
Yes,
I think he's missing the super draws, though, right?
Mm. Yeah, because like is it? The crotch is weird. I can't stop looking at it. Like
it draws you. This
picture, I was just like, "What the fuck?"
Oh, one strike.
I screwed up. But like, I think maybe there's like a weird crotch thing because they're gonna make a bulge in the suit when they CGI it, because they're definitely gonna CGI the suit, right?
I don't. Why would they? It look exactly like it's supposed to.
Yeah. I know, but like he's like so. Those are not his muscles. That's like a suit.
Well, yeah, that's a what you call that Party City.
Oh, you
Halloween.
Shut up, Dwayne.
With the padded muscles.
Like, it looks like they cut up a mattress and just shoved it in there. It
looks
terrible.
He said Party City.
But look, man, the test emblem, it doesn't look that great, man. It looks kind of...
I got a t-shirt that looks just like that.
Right, exactly. Exactly. So this suit doesn't look too... I mean, it's on. It's spot on, but it's just like a, like, you know, Comic-Con type, you know what
I
mean?
It does like a cosplay.
Yeah, you know, so...
Yeah, it doesn't look good. And he looks... You guys, I know this is, like, it's petty, I guess I would say, but he is so, he looks so, like, he looks small.
Yeah, like, he don't look like a superhero. Person. Yeah.
So the muscles just don't look right. I don't know if that sounds weird, but, like, okay, like, some people, okay, like, The Rock, he's a big dude, and you can just tell that even if he wasn't super muscular, he would be, like, a bigger guy, like, just tall and kind of, like, broad-shouldered and stuff. This guy is like small.
Well,
and so it just doesn't. Those muscles just don't look right.
Well, let me just. I'm gonna bring it over here to the news. We're gonna go to our feed of the week and keep people were actually commenting on this.
Yeah, I was looking at that.
So Jay Munson, you guys remember Jay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He said I like it.
Yeah, he did.
It's good to see them actually using bright colors for once. Mm-hmm. Better than the Septa Tone, F-U-C-K. Ooh. up, that was the Snyder's attempts at the Superman. So he likes it. Mm-hmm. Ken Lorenzo Ray says, "Nah, son, what the f?" he said it's gonna be a CGI festival for this film. Greg Armstrong says, "Is this a film or an early '90s TV show?" And I said, "It does look like the old Flash." Oh shoot. So Marty Hoover says this looks very bad.
Yeah.
And then he says again, yeah, very bad. Oh sure. So I don't know, y'all. That don't seem to be trending too well, huh?
Nah. It just looks here's the thing. Like you said, it looks like the suit or whatever. Even I know that. It looks like the Shazam suit. However, it just something like I can't put my finger on it, but something's off about
He needs the super trunks. Don't he have super trunks?
Yes. He's
I'm not sure.
Know.
I'm not
the
sure.
Crotch, as we've already established, is weird.
But no, they just need it. No, I mean, they can make the suit look a whole lot better. They can, you know, they can modernize it for today's.
So you do want to see it look like Henry Cavill's thing.
Not really. I mean, you don't have to make it look dirty and grungy, but I mean, you can make it look better than what that is, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah, you know.
Well, I mean, I think this might be good for them because you know how when the Suicide Squad stuff leaked and they made some changes, even though it didn't save it, it was too late to save it. This is pretty early. Mm. They might be able to make some changes that, you know,
okay.
Sincerely change.
I was wrong, man. He the cartoon character does not have trunks.
He doesn't. I looked it up too. Yeah, no trunk. Well, they gotta cover up that weird crotch.
Yeah, maybe they need to put the sash. They need the sash.
They're gonna put a bulge there. I swear, hand to God, that's why there's that weird crotch thing happening. Is because they're gonna CGI a bulge. I put my money on it.
They need to put the sash back on there because then you could like always have it blowing in the wind and stuff. You know, yeah.
They need to figure something out. It's just not right.
That might be like a first, like Shazam, like I don't know.
He on the streets filming though.
I mean, you know, what I mean, no. I think what he means is, kind of like in the Spider-Man, right. He has the crappy suit, and then right. He gets the new spider suit.
Right, he might could go be. Through. Yeah, it might be something like that. Hopefully.
They hope, right?
Yeah, we're hoping that.
So this is not doing well.
Right, that's, please. Yeah.
Good luck, guys.
Right. Y'all in trouble. Okay. Right. We'll move on to the next story unless anybody else got stuff. But I guess we could crack on this all day, right?
Man, I could do a whole show about the crotch alone. It's terrible.
Yeah, it is. And it shows everything.
It does. But it's weird because, okay, I'm sorry. It's just weird because, as we've established, it is fake. Those are not his real muscles. So why are some parts of the suit, like his knees, for instance, they're so small?
Yeah, he is a little, he's not a big superhero type of person.
He's a gangly guy.
Yeah, yeah.
So it just doesn't look right. Sorry, everybody.
Captain Marvel, everyone. So we'll be watching this one. We'll see some new pics and see if they, yeah. Okay. So, Tiff, John Favreau is, he's up to executive producer and write lives Star Wars TV shows, man.
That's right. I saw this.
Yeah. So, what do we think of this, right? Because we knew the Star Wars was coming, regardless. Even though we all know that, you know, some of us thinks it's too much wars, and some of us don't. Mm-hmm. But I think this is a pretty good get, man.
I agree. I think it's. I mean, I suppose even if you have oversaturation, like I say, then there's going to be good stuff and bad stuff. You know what I mean? Like. Even if you had like too many, like, you know, like a TV show that's been going on for years and years and years, mm-hmm. there's going to be excellent episodes of that TV show, even if you no longer think the show itself is that great. So I would believe, I'm not saying that's true about Star Wars yet. I'm just saying that, like, even if there was a saturation point, doesn't mean that this would be bad.
Yeah. You know, the one saving grace I keep thinking about this stuff is that, they have the Netflix shows, you know, for Marvel, the Luke Cages and all that stuff, and we still go to the movies to see Black Panther and Spider-Man, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so yeah. Right,
it's not over. It seems like it should be. Marvel should be totally oversaturated. They got cartoons, they got they have the comic books, they have TV, they have regular television, Netflix,
and like you said, ABC,
and movies,
ABC, yeah,
right. So that's a lot. But we don't complain about that.
No.
You know?
No.
Interesting. Man. What about you, Smooth? How you feel about this?
What, about this guy right here?
Well, about this
situation mm-hmm. right here? Well, if they were hitting towards, like, the underworld of this, maybe, the bad guys, as far as the series concerned. So I like that, if they're going in that direction. And they were saying, you know, even though he's not going to piggyback off of George Lucas's... ideas. He had George Lucas. They said he had a script, kind of, like, kind of maybe in this direction.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, but I'm looking forward to it because it's more stories, and you know, and some of these characters are very interesting. So you know, and I kind of like this guy. This guy does good work.
So they said that the series is supposed to take place in the time between Revenge of the Sith,
right,
and A New Hope,
right. Which is a big, which is a nice.
Same for Star Wars Rebels. That was the same time. That's a good time. Mm-hmm. And it's, like you said, it's supposed to be about the criminal underworld.
Right.
Oh, actually, it was a dark time, right?
Right, yeah, exactly. Right.
So, this is the bad guys, right?
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, but that could be good, though.
I mean, they're not saying, they're not on officially saying that's what it is, but I'm just saying I would like them to lean towards that way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I think, I see what you're saying. Like, it could be, it's about the underground, so it could be like rebels infiltrating or like whatever. But you hope that it's more focused on the bad guys.
Yeah. Just make it Boba Fett and call it a day, right?
Thank you. That's it. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, exactly.
Give him his own series.
That's really interesting, I think.
Give him his own edgy Netflix, Marvel's, you know, death and blood and guts Boba Fett thing.
Mandalorians? Yeah.
Well, just him.
I mean, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
People love him.
Right.
You know, so. Anyway, man. So, Boba Fett, y'all heard it here first. No. So, where does that leave us now, Tiff? Where are we?
Time to talk about Luke Cage, season 2.
Luke Cage, season 2. Now, Jessica came out this weekend, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Have anybody started watching it yet?
Not yet.
No, I've been just traveling, so I might do it today.
Yeah, I had a bunch of stuff to do yesterday and a bunch of stuff to do today. And so I'm going to try to start today because I'm supposed to be guesting on another podcast talking about the whole series. So I better get cracking.
Okay. You got to hurry up. Right.
Better get cracking there. However, this came out before the show. It seems that he has embraced his full badassery. I mean, it's just like he seems super attitude on this one. What you think, Smooth?
He's pissed off. He pretty much knows. He knows. Yeah, you can't. You can't burn me. You can't shoot me. So you know, he's totally letting them know. Hey, I'm here. I'm that guy. Damn, I'm gonna beat the hell out of you.
I just thought it was a lot of attitude. What about you, Tim?
Yes, but I mean, I love that. It's so exciting. Like, even these trailers that they do are pretty really good. The Defenders ones weren't so good, and then the show wasn't so good. However,
that's true.
I do think that this trailer looks very short, but like you get as hype as you need to be.
I can tell you one thing. He seemed to me to be more of Luke Cage in this trailer, like the comic book character, than he was in the whole series. You know, with the quiet, gentle giant type of person. That's how he kind of was in season one. Mm-hmm. This trailer, this is him in the comic book. He talk a lot. He got a lot to say. He always cussing. Always cussing. You know? And so just talking crap all the time, like, because he backs it up. And so, yeah, this trailer, this was the comic Luke Cage here. Because he just, you know, he got everything to say, but he's totally going to back it up. So I hope it'll be interesting to see if they have the character evolve, you know, because he went to jail, he's out, he's back on the streets, you know, all kind of stuff happened with the double villains of the last TV show. So what direction are they going to go in now, you know, because I don't remember where his character was in the Defenders.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean.
At the end, I don't remember.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't. Yeah, I don't yeah. That's how good the show was.
Right.
Didn't see any Danny Rand at all, but they didn't really show anything.
I mean, they didn't. But if they can capture the magic of the scene in the boardroom, I want him to be on the show.
Yeah, let's not get it twisted. When they all fought, in that,
it was perfect.
That building, that should have been the finale. The hell with the catacombs,
right.
You know, that was beautiful. You know?
Yeah, it was. It really, that scene itself, it's almost like they built, I don't want to go into Defenders, I know we're not talking about that, but it's like they built the show from some of those scenes that were really, really good, and then they like kind of just lost the thread a little bit, because the meat is there.
Yes, indeed.
The stuff is there. All the characters, I think, besides they had some problems with Iron Fist, but you know, all the other characters, even if you don't like Iron Fist,
he's better.
Per se, cause that's,
I'm sorry, he's better with them around, though.
He is. That's because, what I'm saying. Like, even if you don't like them,
yeah,
they build him up. There's enough character strength with the other people to build that team.
And he's the yin and the yang. He offers a different aspect of that group. You know, you have the concerned ninja, you know, being a leader. You had the streetwise person. You had the sarcastic Jessica Jones, who actually was a comedy relief. And then you could have the hopeful, you know, sensei of martial arts magic. That's his stick. He needs to stay there, you know, just with that mystic optimism, because he's the only magical character, correct? Everybody else is hatched in a lab or something. So,
yes.
Yeah. Y'all listen to us. We're going to save y'all show. Just
take notes, okay? We have some pointers for you. We have a PowerPoint presentation. Just take a seat. It'll take 15 minutes, and we'll help you out.
Exactly.
But to get back to Luke Cage, I do think that take the scenery, which I think is a perfect thing for, like, the character of Luke Cage. Like, he, I don't know if it's the way they frame it or him as an actor, but, like, is there in the frame. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
He has great presence, is what it is.
Yes, that's what I'm trying to say. He's just there.
Mm-hmm. He does. He has a great presence. But then he opened his mouth, and I never really cared for his acting all that much. I don't think he captured the character. I don't know if he's a, you know, a crappy eye. I don't know if he was a crappy actor, or was he just doing the character wrong? And now that I've seen him talking his crap, I'm like, oh, there it is. there's Luke Cage. That's the Luke Cage everybody knows and loves. You know, so more of that. Let me just say that. More of that, less of the other stuff. More of this, less of that. Anything else on this move?
Nah.
No, you threw with Luke Cage until you see something else?
Yeah, let me see something.
Okay. Hey, Tiff, you want to hit that social media tar?
It would be my pleasure.
All right.
So, for everything Fans on Patrol, go to fansonpatrol.com. You can get articles and show art that Montego's done and our past shows and photos and a whole bunch of great stuff. Fansonpatrol.com. And you can reach us directly at fans@fansonpatrol.com, where you can email us with ideas for shows or suggestions, complaints, comments, whatever you'd like. We'd love to hear from you. If you don't feel comfortable emailing us, you can certainly reach out to us on social media, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Fans on Patrol. We're easy to find. If you're having trouble, just Google Fans on Patrol. We'll come up. So, also, listen to us on Stitcher, Satchel, Google Play, Podbean, iTunes, and TuneIn. You can give us a review or comment on any of those platforms. I think these days we're preferring Podbean because it's a little easier on you folks to get in there and do that. We would love to read that out loud on the air for you.
Oh yeah, Tiff. And don't forget, we are now available on Spotify. That's a beautiful platform. Check us out on Spotify.
Spotty.
I think they keep pretty good stats too. So we can actually see the numbers on there, unlike some of those other platforms, and we don't know what's going on things.
You see the bunts and the singles.
Oh, so I think that's gonna be it, y'all. You guys good?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we only one curse word in, huh?
Yeah. Well, no, my
one and a half.
What was the half?
The half was a bad assery.
Oh,
you know.
They say ass.
Oh yeah, that's set on cable TV. That's on like ABC.
Yeah, about to say you got ass in the Bible. You know what I'm
they have asses.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
All right. Well, we're gonna take a break and we're gonna come right back. All right, man, we are back, and I think it's time for Facts on Patrol with a whole bunch of water. I don't know if that's the title, but I'm going to send it over here to my boy because I will be playing this week, folks, back in the saddle.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This week's edition will be hosted by me, SMWVE, and we're keeping it all the way liquid. This will be...
You needed some echo behind your voice on that
okay. Then we're keeping it all the way liquid.
There you go.
All right, thank you for that. Yeah, this will be questions with movies and shows that are dealing with water.
Water.
So you got to keep that in mind.
Movies and shows.
Even though it might, you know, seem like, but just think of water.
Okay.
All right.
Water. All right. Got it.
Are we ready?
Let me open up my Google. All right.
I think I'm ready.
Okay. Well, who should go first?
Ladies always first? Me, it's always me, but I say the lady is playing.
Well, you know, we're
okay,
not going
to. That's fine. You can ask me first. I don't care.
Well, you know what, Tiff? We're not going to break the tradition, so we're going to go with Montego first.
Ah, dang it.
All right. He said he did it himself. He dug his own hole.
Yeah, right. I did.
All right. All right, Montego.
Yes, sir.
In this 1984 film, a young boy is reunited with a mermaid who saves him from drowning as a boy.
Splash!
Damn, that boy's good!
I knew that!
You knew that, too?
I don't know the answer, darn it.
You knew that? Oh, wow.
All right,
Tiff.
I'm ready for my question about water.
All right, here we go.
Okay.
Russell Crowe plays a brash captain who pushes his ship and crew to their limits.
Can I sail?
In pursuit of a formidable French war vessel around South America.
Can I sail?
What movie is this?
Give me a second to answer. Jeez, Pete.
She's not gonna get it.
Is it A, Orca?
Oh, she got multiple choice?
There was all. You didn't even let me get to multiple choice. You just went ahead and answered it.
Did I get 2 points?
Yeah, I guess if you want 2 points, you want 2 points.
Sure, 2 points for you.
Points. There you go, 2 points. Again,
settle down. You let me get to my question before you're like all asked concerned about your question.
Do you want me to redo the?
No,
redo it.
No, I'm good. I just need my multiple choice. Thank you very much, Smith. All
right. Once again, is it A, Orca, B, Master and Commander, The Far Side of the World, C, Moby Dick, or D, in the heart of the sea?
I don't know. Is it the heart of the sea?
No. Can I steal?
What is it?
It's master. No stealing. It's master and commander.
Yeah, it's master and commander.
That's you guys, I've never seen that movie.
I haven't either.
Hey, don't waste y'all time.
Yeah, I was about to say.
It was terrible. Yeah,
I thought you were telling me not to waste my time explaining why I didn't get the answer. No. I was like, okay.
Master and Commander came out. It was Russell Crowe right after Gladiator.
Yeah.
So it was like.
Oh, okay. So they're trying for like a fee situation.
I rushed to the movies and I was like, what is this garbage?
It was. I tried to watch. It was kind of long.
What is this
before I even got to a battle, didn't?
Dude, it went forever.
Yeah,
and it just wasn't interesting. It's not a good movie. Yeah. Sorry.
Sorry, man. All right.
So apologies to everyone whose favorite movie is
Master and Commander.
Mr. Bradley.
Yes, sir.
All right. A boy finds an interesting egg. His curiosity leads him to protect it and wants to figure out what will come out of it. It hatches into something magical. What is this movie?
Oh. The Water Horse.
Oh, this guy here.
Gosh, dang it. I knew that too.
Wow, this guy here. Woo, you all wet over there.
I'm on fire, man. I've been losing and shit.
You moist over there.
Oh, my God.
All right. Okay, Tiff, I'm pretty sure you'll get this one.
Okay, don't say that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You're right.
I'm ready.
Which one of these characters is He-Man's enemy?
I got it.
Is it?
Can I steal?
No.
Is it? Would you calm down? All right, jeez.
Golly. Is it A, Hydro Man, B, King Shark, C, Merman, or D, Prince Namor?
I have no fucking clue. Is it A?
No.
The first one?
No.
It's Merman.
It's Merman.
You guys, I have never seen a single episode
really?
Of He-Man.
He-Man.
I thought, He-Man. You know what? I just assumed you. Yeah. No. All right. Here we go.
I mean, that seems a fair assumption.
Are we apologizing because she's getting stuff wrong?
Yes.
Yes, I am.
I am not garbage.
Right.
All right. You are a game. You're game garbage.
Yes,
you're just coming in hot. You like wanting to steal all the questions before even get a chance to answer.
Because I get happy when I know it.
Oh, my God. You know what?
That's the thing.
Go for it.
Tiff, you knew it, but you knew his answers, though, to his questions.
Yeah. You know what I mean? You know what? Okay, go ahead. Ask him a question.
Neutral game host, can we please?
All right. Here we go. What horror? This is for you, buddy. What horror movie was centered around this fictional lake? Lake Fun. Lake Fun. This is the name of the lake. Lake Fun.
Okay.
So was the movie A, Open Water? B, Jaws, C, Piranha, D, Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus.
Lake Fun?
Yeah.
Jesus, I don't think it was Piranha. How about the last one?
Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus?
Yes.
Wrong.
What was it, Piranha?
It was Piranha.
I haven't seen Piranha since the 70s, so unless you were talking about the new one.
I thought they did, they kept the name anyway. All right, you got it wrong. One wrong for you.
Almost.
See how much you know about water movies.
The safe answer was Piranha.
This is where my impersonations come in. All right, here we go. Tiff, what movie did these two lines come from?
Okay.
All right. Best luck to you on the next upcoming play.
You suck.
I'll be playing with your mama tonight.
You suck. Oh, that's so easy.
Is it A? Do you want to answer straight out or do you?
No, I want to hear the A.
Is it A, Dawson's Creek, B, The Waterboy, C, Baywatch, or D, Happy Feet?
It is The Waterboy.
You're damn right, it's The Waterboy.
The Waterboy. There you go. All right.
Yes. Okay.
All right. All right, now I'll put it like this. Well, yeah, Montego, here you go. All right. In James Bond, Quantum of Solace, what country were terrorists gaining control over the water resources?
God, was it Bolivia? Which one was it? I got multiple choice, right?
Yes, you do have multiple choice.
Okay.
Is it A, Peru?
No.
B, Argentina?
Maybe.
No. C, Bolivia?
I think it was Bolivia.
D, Chile?
It was Bolivia.
You are right.
Yeah.
You know what? I will say that's an impressive thing to know.
Thank you.
Because I have no. If I'd seen that movie, which I might have, I would not remember that.
it was Bolivia. I remember it because the ladies had the hats and stuff, and they were in the Andes Mountains or something like that. Yeah.
Check out the brain on this guy. Mm. All right, Tiff. One more time. Here we go.
All right.
Which movie were the control of water was not the key point plot element? Which movie?
Okay.
You got that? All right.
Okay. Got it. Yep.
Here we go. Was it A, The Book of Eli? B, Mad Max Fury Road? C, Waterworld? Or D, Blackwater?
Oh, I know this one.
Blackwater.
You are absolutely correct. You
can't touch this.
Yes, I've seen all those except for Blackwater, but I knew the first three had to deal with the control of water. So.
Right. Excellent. All right. Well, unfortunately. Well, no, I'm going to say unfortunately, but this guy missed
play
one.
Play my music there. There you go.
You missed one. You missed two.
I had two pointers.
Yeah,
thank you.
You did a good job. Yeah.
He did. And so he is King Drip.
I'm the champion. I am the champion.
He's all wet.
Oh, Lord.
Throw the buckets of water on this guy. Douse him.
Finally, a victory. He's won. I feel better.
You did a great job.
Thank you. You stop it with this. You're cheapening my victory.
by being nice.
By being nice.
We can't win with you. We're mean. You complain that we're mean. We're nice. We're too nice. Next time you win, I'm just gonna be completely silent.
I don't need help when I'm at the top.
Oh my god! This is why people get so upset when you win.
Yeah, that's why.
You cannot win
graciously. Right. Yeah. Okay, that's why you like to stomp the shit out of me. Oh, yeah, I know. But see, that's what I'm saying. You brought it out of me. I'm not even playing you. I'm hosting this. You see what I'm saying? That's how bad you are.
That's why you were so nice to me, because you would be able to be gracious. Someone would be gracious to you, too, if you weren't such a sore winner.
Get off of my mouth.
Right, well, hold on. Would you like the bonus?
Would you like the bonus? No, don't ask him. Ask me.
I'm going to ask you. Bonus. Yep, I'm going to ask you, Tiff, because I'm pretty sure you know this. Thank you. All right, and I'm going to give you a hint, too. This is
all right. Thank you.
This is a Sham Knight, whatever the hell it is.
Sham Knight, Shyamalan.
Yeah,
Shyamalan.
Yes. Yep. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay.
I know this movie.
This. Oh yeah, you probably do.
Lady in the Water.
No, you. There it is. There. I didn't even have to say anything. Great. There it is.
I knew that movie.
Right, it was water. Yeah. What the fuck?
Boom.
Keep on with the curse words.
Yeah, it's you. It's your fault. It's your fault. You bring it out. You bring it out of people, man.
You made us bad. Right.
It's you, man.
Oh, so much fun. That's more like it. Oh, boy. I think we're done, man. I think we're going to take another break. We're going to come back with our comic, the continuing saga of Batman the White Knight. We'll be right back. All right, man, we are back, and back to the creepy world of Batman White Knight. This is number 5. Sean Murphy and, Matt Hollingsworth?
Mm-hmm.
Still the maestros controlling the destiny of this universe's Batman. So, I don't remember exactly. I think it was the last time we dove into Batman, the Joker had won as councilman, ward captain or something like that.
Right.
And he was leading this campaign against Batman and has pretty much vilified him to the enemy, and without a doubt it was known and stated that this was all bullcrap and that the Joker was manipulating the city to the max, controlling the villains and stuff like that, and all this was leading to a big culmination of something we do not know exactly what. Right. But it all had to do with the destruction of Batman. So we start this with this, and he wants to learn how to fight.
Yeah.
So, because he said the only thing he wants to see, he's trying to do something. So he probably wants to get beat up by Batman publicly or something, because it didn't happen in this book. And so he's getting beat up by Harley Quinn, the first Harley Quinn. She's teaching him how to fight. Now this part I had a little bit of problem with, because it's like, you're gonna take lessons for a week and you think you're gonna look like you can fight Batman? Right. You know, the man has been fighting his whole life. Anyway, Bruce and Dick is not getting along.
Right.
They about ready to beat the hell out of each other, you know. But and Babs is there. She's trying to be the peacemaker.
Right.
He goes to the newer Harley Quinn and try to get her help, and she didn't help. He's pissed. He walks away. Right. Joker was controlling her too. Yeah. And they break into Wayne Manor, man. And it gets serious from that point on. And I just want to say that, you know, well, some more stuff happened. The good guys show up, chasing the bad guys. Bats does it again, right? He destroys a bridge. People are pissed off, and Gordon says, let's arrest Batman and stuff. So they break into the Wayne Manor. They steal something, man, that Bruce don't want to get out. Mm-hmm. And the saga continues, man.
Yeah.
You commented on the art earlier when you were reading it, Dwayne, and I agree with you. The art is beautiful. The tone of each panel is ridiculous. It's like, I love that orange panel where everything falls, but then you go to the next and everything is cool blue, everything on the page. I like how the artist deliberately, purposely gives you a sense of the different scenes, like when they're in Wayne Manor, kind of have a green hue on everything.
Right.
Brilliant, man. Yeah. Brilliant stuff. So, Smooth, how'd you feel about this book, man? How are you liking the ride, man?
I'm liking this ride. Mm-hmm. I'm impressed of how smart they keep making the Joker appear to be. I mean, you know, they keep, you know, it's like there's no measuring stick to what, you know, his genius is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm liking how they're, you know, the Harley Quinns, and they're bringing, you know, you get to see the old villains. You know, even though they're not doing what they're, you know, doing their villainy stuff because they're, you know, mind under mind control. But, you know, like this is a good book. It's a good series. I recommend it.
Yeah.
You know.
What about you, Tiff? How are you liking the ride so far?
I think sometimes when you read a book and you really like it, you get worried that, like, at some point you're gonna be like, okay, this is the point where I'm gonna stop.
Yep. Me too.
Enjoying. But this book, it keeps the pace going. It's still good. Really, really good. And then when you're reading it, at the beginning of this book, we start at the end. So we see that at the beginning of the, not this book, but the series.
Book one.
That Batman has been arrested. He's in Arkham Asylum.
Yes.
Right. And so we're kind of seeing in this one, like, we've been reaching this point in the arc where, like, the roles are starting to reverse. We're like, Batman is becoming like, even so, like, my favorite scene in this whole book is the part where he's talking to Harley Quinn and he says, am I the only one who hasn't lost his mind? And then he, like, punches
what
the thing,
kindred spirits we are. I was just looking at that, and that's my favorite scene in the book because it was so unpredictable.
Yeah. And he's becoming more like what the Joker would be. So it makes, like, they're having this role reversal, and it makes making more sense, like, why he might end up in Arkham Asylum. And, like, my question about this book, and I think everyone's question about this book probably, is sometimes in a Batman book, they really commit to, this is just a one-shot thing. This is the self-contained universe. So whatever happens here is not
binding.
And, right. And it's not indicative of anything else occurring in the Batman universe. And therefore, when what I'm saying here is, if the Joker actually does become, like, the good guy of this story, I'm wondering if they're, like, if they're really going to commit to that, or if he's going to become actually a bad guy. I mean, what he's doing is not exactly 100%, but I think that the argument could be made, and I'm sorry to keep going on, but the argument could be made that what Batman does isn't always 100%, like, good. Do you know what I mean? He does some things that, like, just for the good, but end up being not the best choice. And so I wonder if they're going to commit to the fact that Joker is a good guy.
Well, I don't think he's a good guy.
Yeah.
I don't think so either, but I think in this environment, is he the hero?
Well,
I think he's a self. I think it's all a rule. It's such a rules, though.
Yeah, because he.
That's why I'm wondering. I don't know.
He's fixing. Yeah, he's basically fixing the deck. You know.
Yeah, every step of the way. I mean, he's the one that unleashed the villains on the entire city that destroyed that library and all that other stuff.
Right.
He's the one that keeps setting this stuff up. You know, for it to turn bad. If you were really the hero in the story, you wouldn't need to invent your own adventure.
Right. So bad, yeah, right, exactly, because he's predicting he's going to tear down the
library.
But eventually you're thinking that Batman's going to come back and be the Batman.
Yeah, I think I think he has to be, because he is right.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, he's manipulating this whole thing.
Right.
This doesn't make you the good guy because you appear to be the good guy.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, it does.
Well, I
think that's the argument about Batman.
I don't think so, man.
Well,
I mean, yeah, in this scenario.
Well, he's, well, I mean, like, well, like, for instance, like he said, when he crashed the roofs down on these buildings and he showed the little kid and said, yeah, this is a kid that was affected by Batman. You know, he's not under anybody's law. He doesn't have to answer to anybody.
Well, he may need to be, have his rings up pulled in, but at the end of the day, if something's going down, I would want the Batman there to stop.
Oh yeah, I would too. Yeah.
Manipulating little dude who couldn't respond to something unpredictable because this you're just hatching a plan and carrying out your plan. Mm-hmm. You're not the hero.
I'm not disagreeing. I'm just
sending in Batman. No. Let's go get Jack Napier. Let's see what kind of plan he can come up with for the next 12 months to see if we can get out of this. You know. So
perfect.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. I really like
it. It's really good.
Yes.
Well, one interesting thing, though, I noticed how when they were talking how Jason Todd was before Dick Grayson in this.
Yeah, we kind of hit that in the last one.
Okay.
But, yeah, he was the first one. Mm. So I kind of like that better.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Because they could have just left him dead and just called it a day. Anyway, that's going to do it for the book, man. We're going to come back next week with number six because number six came out and we just didn't want to do both of them. So that's what we're going to do. So we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. All right, man, that's it. We're back. No Cuss of Sunday going strong. And here we are for our first Oscar-winning movie, I think, maybe, ever.
Maybe. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? Yeah, we have to go back to the archives and see how many things we've had on this show. So, Sally Hawkins, who I've never, ever heard of before, is in this movie.
Yeah.
This is The Shape of Water.
Shape of Water.
Guillermo del Toro, right? This is Tiff's boy.
I love him.
I like a lot of his movies, too.
Mr. Roboto.
Octavia Spencer is in this movie. Okay. Michael Shannon is in this movie.
Zod himself.
Doug Jones is in this. Richard Hawkins has a big role in this thing.
Yes, he does.
Michael Strongbar. Who played the fish? I'm looking.
No, Doug Jones, the amphibian man.
Was he the same amphibian man in what's that movie with the amphibian man? By Guillermo del Toro.
Hellboy.
That wasn't the same guy, was it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
Because he looked almost like the same character.
I think
it is him.
People have said that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean. Yeah. It's like they dusted off the old suit.
Right. And he ate eggs too.
Yeah. Notice that. Yeah. I thought it was something connecting there for
so much. So many eggs in this movie.
Right. Well, in the Hellboy, it was like rotten eggs.
Rotten, disgusting. Yeah, they had to be like, ugh, man, they stunk. Yeah.
Breath had to stink. Mm. Anyway, man.
Man.
So. This is it, man. This one, the Big Daddy. So this is pretty good.
Yep.
Now, Tiff wanted to see this movie. You know, she thought it was
cool
that it was nerd stuff. I never cared, but I heard all the hype about it, I wanted to see it.
Right.
And Dwayne, where did you stand? Where were you at with that?
I didn't. You know, I was familiar with it, but I mean, if I seen it, I seen it. If not, you know. It was, you know, no big deal.
Okay, well, let's just go around non-spoilers and tell how you felt about this thing. And since you we'll just start with you, Smooth.
Okay. Well, I'll talk to you 40 minutes in. I mean, at 40 minutes in, I was interested.
Mm-hmm.
And then it got weird.
Okay. It didn't start weird for you?
It didn't start weird. It started good for me.
Okay.
Then, strangely enough, it got weird for me. And, like, you know. So, yeah, it got a little weird for me. So.
Right. It broke the smooth weird factor.
Right, yeah.
So, what did you think of it?
I did not dislike it, and I did not love it.
Okay.
But, you know, it didn't bother me. It was okay.
Okay. It was okay.
It was okay. It was okay movie, yeah.
Tiffobot.
Yes.
First time I'm hearing your response to this. But how'd you feel about this movie?
I like this movie a lot.
You liked it.
Yeah, it's like a
lot.
It's like a weird dream.
Yeah, if you dream, right?
I can see that. Yeah.
I can see that too. Yeah, weird dream.
And I just like I think a lot of the reasons I like Guillermo del Toro movies is the way that he shoots things is very beautiful.
Yes,
and just
excellent.
The quality of it is good, and like I think his stories are weird.
Oh, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So I mean, I can understand why it's, you know. I do think that, you know, because it's a, I don't know, but I liked it.
Okay.
We'll get into some of this other stuff after.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then to the big daddy himself, me.
Mm-hmm. Me.
You know, this movie, it reminded me of Edward Scissorhands. Like,
oh, I can see that.
Just being something else, someplace else, you know, probably the same time period with the same nuclear family music kind of being played in the background and everything crisp and clean. There was things I really dug about this movie, really subtle things that I dug, things that made me laugh about it, and things that were very interesting. Kind of like the scene in a pie shop with the jerky guy, but stuff like that really stood out for me. Mm-hmm. But God, I did not like this movie. Oh, couldn't stand it. I literally sat there with my hand on a remote control looking for parts that I could scooch past, man, because it was just like, ooh.
I mean, where did it get you to where you just was definitively like, I do not like this?
Oh, it was early in, but we can get really? To that. Okay. Yeah. Setup of it was okay, but it just, we'll get into it. This is going to be an interesting conversation because we got loved it, middle of the road, liked it, and then we got
did not care for it at all.
Couldn't stand it all on the show. So perfect.
Yeah.
All right. So throw them spoilers up. Let them fly. Yep. And all right, Tiff, what were some of the things that you were saying earlier that, you know?
You mean like that? Okay. First of all, I really like Octavia Spencer's character. She fucking had me laughing at some of the stuff that she, when the first thing she says when she's like talking about making dinner for her husband, and she said, I wrote down what she said. She said, no thank you, no yum yums. I nearly shit my pants. I was laughing so hard. I loved that.
I didn't even catch that, but that's good.
No thank yous, no yum yums. I thought that was hilarious. But I do like, so there's kind of like have you ever seen Amelie? It's like a French film, and she kind of has this indomitable spirit where she's happy. Mm-hmm. And I'd like this character who lives a life that maybe she has a shitty apartment, she has a shitty job, but she loves her life. Do you know what I mean? Now, when she masturbates in the bathtub,
holy shit!
I turned to Mike and I said,
"Oh, no course on Sundays."
They're really going for it,
Tiffy. Yeah. Tiffobot. Yeah. It happened right when the film started, and I'm like,
"Yes, I was kind of shocked."
I said, "What am I watching?"
Stuff like that.
That's what I thought. I said, what am I watching? What am I getting into? That's what I was like.
Well, I think, you know, the thing about it is that, you know, that kind of stuff, female masturbation, I guess, doesn't really get talked about a lot in movies without it being
Cause you know what?
A big deal.
Because it's a private thing.
Right. But it happens a lot. But male masturbation happens a lot in movies, and it's treated very, very lightly and sometimes to comedic effect.
It happened a lot in this movie too. Every damn morning. They went for it.
But I also, and I do think that we see the difference in, just, I'm not talking about like whatever, but like sexuality, like hers and the monsters is very like even though we find it repulsive, very beautiful romance. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I'm just saying that they love each other and it's tender, but we see that guy making love to his wife and it's terrifying.
It was terrible.
One of the worst sex scenes I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah. A lot of sex, a lot of boobies, a lot of booty, a lot of everything in this movie.
Yeah, it's just a surprising amount of lots of things.
Especially for the time. Not the time, but just how crisp and clean everything was set up in this movie. And even in those scenes, the scenes were still crisp and clean because sometimes they have a tendency to
lower. Or like they shift away or like.
Or they put like a hue on the scene to give it a different feel. You know, no, everything was still bright and shiny and sunny and right in your face, you know, so.
Yeah, I think he has a tendency, I guess everything you can say about Guillermo del Toro is like he doesn't look away.
No.
Do you know what I mean? Like, there's, like, this, to the things that are, I mean, intimate or disgusting. I'm not saying masturbation is disgusting. I'm saying, like, later we see some other things that are, like, you're like, ew.
Yeah. So, you know, they start this off, man. I like the underground bunker that they work in. I had no idea what that was about, you know. But I was interested. What about you, Smooth?
Yeah. I know, yeah. I mean, you know, underground science lab, scientists, military guys, you know it's going to be Area 51 type stuff.
And they waste no time bringing the creature in, man.
Right.
You know?
No, but I could totally watch. So we see the beginning of the movie, and it's shot like down that hallway and on the bus, and like her looking at shoes, and it's a very kind of like a Parisian feel. I could watch a movie where they just cut her life and like without the fish.
Well, Tiff, they kind of already did do that in this. It was a whole bunch of watching her on the bus and going down the street
more,
with
more,
the
more.
Parisian music going.
I loved it. Like,
that wasn't bad to me. Wasn't bad to me. I mean, it was showing, you know, it was building up her, you know, just making her likable, pretty much. She was already, I mean, she was, you know, she was handicapped, so to speak, but she lived a regular life, you know, like Tiff said, it was mundane, but she found joy in it.
Yeah, she did, which is nice. It's a nice message. Yeah. But like you said, that fish was there.
Here comes the cloud.
Well, what? Not yet. Oh, you talking about me? Well, yeah, I don't care about that. Right, I think it went too far.
Tell me about the fish.
Well, the fish comes in, right?
Yeah.
And everything is like bad with this thing. You know, the scientists appear to be monsters, because I think at this point in the game, they introduce the Michael Shannon character pretty early on. And he's just like the biggest a-hole, you know.
Yeah. He's a real creep.
Large and in charge.
Richard Strickland.
Very scary person.
Cattle prod holder.
Right. He's walking around with a cattle prod. And so they set up the other characters. She has the marketing washout
her neighbor Giles.
Yeah, and I guess he probably got kicked out of the marketing firm because they probably found out he was gay or something like that. That's what I assumed.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell if it was because he was gay or because he was an alcoholic.
Yeah, I thought it was because he was alcoholic. I thought it was because he was drinking.
Yeah, because he did ask him about the drop.
Yeah, he asked him about the drink.
Yeah,
he did ask him about the drop. Yeah, he said, haven't had a drop. Yeah.
So he might have been coming to work smashed. And then, like you said, photography, it was the new thing coming in. So you were becoming a dinosaur. You were like an illustrator.
Yeah,
yeah, but it's a bullshit though, because like that part of the movie, not like, okay, so he's that boss who like, and we've all had people like this in our careers where like they are a boss, but they're too afraid to just tell someone, hey, listen, there is no longer work here for you.
Right. Yeah.
So they keep stringing them along, being like, oh yeah, you should bring in, change it to green, do this. You know what I mean? Like making them think that they have a chance when obviously that he knows that the answer is, we are not going to use this.
Yeah. So his story was sad through the whole thing.
Right.
It was sad.
But
although he does grow some hair back, which was nice.
One of the strangest things to me was when the man came out of the thing with his fingers missing. I actually thought he was shot because you heard the gun.
Right.
And then you heard, did he come walking out and, you know, with his bloody, I thought he was holding his heart.
I thought he got punctured. Dead. Yeah. I thought he got punctured or something.
And then, you know, before that, I think one of the strangest scenes in the movie is when he walked in and peed while they was in the room.
Oh, yeah. Well, he did it correctly, though. You wash your hands before you pee. Me and my wife was watching this, but she pointed out that he did not touch his penis, though. He did have
his
hand.
No, he had his hands on his hip. Hands on the hips or whatever. Right.
He didn't touch his penis.
Oh God!
But that scene right there introduced the weirdness.
Well, I'm just saying they were excuse me, ladies, but no, he goes and whips it out and starts explaining the stupid stuff.
Well, he's a creep.
That's
he's
what
like
I'm
a
saying.
Rapey creep.
That's exactly what
but
I'm saying.
But he's also showing that, hey, you guys are nothing. Know that I am superior.
Right.
Well,
you know what I mean?
That happens, and his fingers come off. The lady finds the fingers, and then now she's curious. She wants to see what this thing is. She starts sneaking in there, bringing them eggs, feeding them.
Playing music, too.
Playing music. Yeah, that's a lot of shit. Yeah. I'm sorry about that with the cussing. No, but they just, it was a lot of time that room was unoccupied.
Yeah, that's what my wife was
and
saying.
And I also, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, imagine you were taken to a place, not even a foreign country, like Mars, okay? And there was aliens there, Martians. And one of the Martians, for all you fucking know, is... for all you know, is being nice to you. Because, like, she brings him eggs, and, like, she plays the music, and he's like, I like the music, whatever. Mm. But, like... she's signing and he's learning what the words are, you know, they're communicating.
Yeah.
However, how long it seems pretty fast that he picks it up, but like for me, I think like one, how long would it take me for someone to be like, for like if I had like if I went to Mars and there was aliens and they were like, here's this thing that we eat, you should eat it, for me to be like, I'd be like, no.
No, me neither.
Yeah, but
no. Or like if they pointed at an egg and she goes like this and she's like, egg, you know, then he's like, oh, that must mean egg. But like that could mean anything. That could mean poison, food. You know what I mean? Like how long would you actually take to learn to communicate with someone? Well, forever.
Well, if you're hungry, it don't take long for us.
And this is y'all movie, so.
I'm just saying that was like one of the things I was like, but like, I mean, I do. The hardest buy-in of this movie, obviously, is the whole story. Like, it is hard to believe that someone would want to have sex with a fish.
Yeah. Not really.
That's what's hard to believe.
Well, okay, put it like this. In her situation, considering that everybody that's come, no, not everybody, but, you know, like, her neighbor, he's gay, so she's not going to do anything with him. Strickland, that, you know, he comes on to her creepily, like, yeah, I can make it squawk.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That crazy
that
stuff.
That was horrible.
That was crazy.
Right. So it's like, okay, this thing right here, like she said, when it sees me, I genuinely see that he lights up. He's excited to see me. But you know what I mean?
I don't know. For me, it was just still, it's a goddamn, what do you call it? Animal to me, man. Yeah. You know?
Okay, but my question is, we go, if we're skipping, and I'm saying we're going to skip to the end because we're just going on, we're not doing a walkthrough of this.
No, we're not.
Yeah, yeah. If we go to the end, he makes her a fish.
Yeah.
And I kind of think maybe she was always a fish.
I thought that's how the story was going to come out too, because
I kind of think she was always a creature like him, and that she was found as a baby in the river with the gill like scars on her neck. That's where they found her.
Right.
So I'm wondering if like she felt an attraction to him because she was.
Yeah, the attraction thing was a bit too much, especially when she explained how his Yang come out. I was like, oh my god, what is happening?
He was going so hard on that stuff. He's just like. Well, people are going to be curious about how they're even, because you know what? I did say, right when they show him standing up and he's got no junk.
Yeah.
I said to Mike, I said, how are they even having sex? And the very next scene, they have to explain to me that his, and here's the thing, can I tell you? I still don't really understand what that means.
Yeah, you got a flap. We got some flaps that open up for the fish stick.
Gross.
You're crazy, man.
There's so many jokes that could be used for this, but we don't have time.
The Michael Shannon character is out of control, creepy. Of control. The man did his job with the acting, though.
He did. He made it, man. He's the guy. He made it interesting.
Really does commit to it.
Octavia did her job as an actress.
She did.
And her husband, I just wanted to beat him.
Man,
back.
What a sucker, man.
He was.
Like she said, you don't. Anytime the times you don't talk.
Let me say this.
Yeah.
A man comes walking into my house. Wait a minute.
Thank you.
With just two fingers.
Thank you.
And he telling me to sit out and shut up,
man.
He would have been a dead man.
Dude, first of all, you approached my wife. You're cornering you're talking to my wife aggressively.
Well, her husband was a coward. That's plain and simple.
Yeah.
Right.
He let that happen.
Right.
And
we understand the time of what time it was or whatever. You know, it was the 50s, 60s.
That brings me to the scene with the pie owner.
What type?
The scene with the pie owner was interesting enough, and I kind of saw that coming a mile away. Yeah. I don't know why this guy was attracted to him, because he seemed like a creep from the beginning. You know?
From Dixie Doug's Diner?
Yeah, was like, this guy is a piece of crap, guarantee you. And especially when the African-American couple came in, and he was like, well, you didn't have to talk to them like that. And you know, he's like, get out and don't come back and all this stuff.
It's a family restaurant.
Yeah, that stuff like that was interesting to me, but I just needed more. Now, I like when they did the old smuggle the fish man out of the. I thought it was the end of the movie.
Yeah,
when they were smuggling him out of the place.
Right. Yeah.
You know, because I'm like, well, why don't y'all just keep driving and take him to the ocean? You know, what are you doing? Right. Why are we waiting for a damn canal to fill up with water with rain?
Right.
I didn't get that. I'm like, just keep driving. He's in the tank, right? Just get rid of him.
Well,
No, I got to take him home and fill my bathroom up with water.
Yeah, that was weird.
That was.
But I do want to say, like, now that you're talking about the escape, we talked about how the Russian scientist was maybe our favorite character.
Oh, I didn't say that.
He, No, I no, we at my house.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jeff. I wouldn't be the smart butt. I thought Dr. Hofstetler.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
we smart butt. We talked about how we liked him a great deal because
I liked him.
He was just what?
I did like him, honestly.
Yeah, he had. We shot. My brother said he has the most interesting character arc because he starts off as like a Russian spy, right. But he cares more about science,
yeah,
and he's or what's right, I guess you would say, than doing, you know, being a spy. So like, right. When he gets killed, and then oh my god, when that guy comes and like puts his finger. See, Guillermo del Toro always has to do something really like goes beyond what's horrible, and is like, so he gets shot in the face, and then the guy sticks his finger through the
yeah.
I was like, mm-mm.
Man, that dude was monstrous, man.
Also, I liked how his fingers were gangrene infected. You know what I mean? It's like, man,
your fingers, and they ripped him off.
He's like, your fingers stink. You know what I mean, everybody knew that his fingers, was, you know, his hand was stinking because it was infected. You know what I mean? That was another. I like that part. Yeah, I like.
Sorry,
that,
even
that
just thinking about character. Him ripping those fingers off makes me feel quite ill.
Oh, yeah. I would have whooped his cheeks at that point. I saw the hair. Just kick it. Smack it. Just smack his head.
So, one question.
Yeah.
One question. Now, when they were speaking Russian, did your guys' stuff go to the closed captions? Did it go, you know, the... Mine didn't.
Yeah. Yeah,
mine did not do that.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Well, yeah. I'm just asking. Yeah.
Probably should have paid for it, Smooth.
Jesus. Let everybody know. Right? Everybody else, go ahead.
Oh, shoot. So, there's plenty of beating off.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sex.
There's
sex.
Breast galore. when the wife popped her titty out, I said, what is happening in this movie?
That was nice.
I'm sure you thought it was so smooth, but I just, there's a lot of Tiff. Lots of
Yeah.
And
I was surprised that, watching this, I enjoyed it. It does remind me a little bit of, he made a movie called Crimson Peak, and it, I mean, like, he has a style. His movies are all very different because he had Pacific Rim, Crimson Peak, this.
Right. I remember you talking about that Peak. I think you're probably the only person that saw that movie, huh?
I love that movie, yeah.
Yeah, I know. That's what you said, yeah.
But, like, I do feel like he makes interesting or weird or whatever you want to say choices. I find watching this movie that I find it weird that it won an Oscar.
Me too. After I sat there and watched it, I said, this beat the Get Out and all this other stuff that was everybody was crazy about. I'm really surprised. So, you know,
yeah.
Beautiful film. Beautiful film. It was just the way it looked. A little draggy for me. And then the, not the sex parts, but the acting was good. Yeah. But I didn't see any great acting. You know, Michael Shannon to me was probably the best actor in the whole thing and had a lot more to work with than anybody else. But I didn't see any, like, ridiculously, you know, standout performance. But I didn't see any bad ones either.
Right, yeah.
No bad ones.
Right, you know, right.
Nothing bad.
And so it didn't win, like, I don't know who got best actor and best actress. Anybody know this year who got that? Was it anybody in this film?
No,
I don't know.
I don't think so.
And so, you know, normally sometimes that can trip, that helps. You know what I'm saying? Mm. But I don't know. I did not enjoy it. That's time that I will never get back.
Oh my god.
Yeah, and then he turned into a fish. Now I saw that fish being turned into coming a mile away, and then he ate the damn cat.
Oh yeah, I was loving that. That was funny. Really that was funny to me, man.
That was so funny. Disturbing. I'm actually thinking about that. You know,
that was
like
funny. I'm glad you brought that up.
Poor kitty. That's no sad. Head.
Yeah,
very sad. I do want to say about the ending though. Would you turn into a fish? I know that I said like maybe she was always a fish. But my surmising is that she died that we are just hearing, because the guy who's narrating it is her neighbor, and he says, I choose to believe they lived happily ever after. Like, so I think, like, we are just seeing what he's telling her story, because he's like, what if I told you there was this woman and this blah, 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 and I'm telling this story, and then he's saying, and at the end, we see her die. And then when she falls in the water, he assumes he's telling the story of her living.
That would make more sense. And let me say this. Getting back to the cat. Getting back to the cat, that's when I really looked at that thing as not a creature, but a man pretending, a man pretending to be a creature. I looked at it as a creature pretending to be a man. And when I saw him eat the cat, I was like, that's a damn animal. And so with her actually making love to me, it was like, hey, she's making, that's an animal. That's like a goddamn animals. You know, it's just, I didn't like it. I didn't like it. It bothered me.
I didn't think it was that. Because some people over other countries, they eat cats and doggies.
They don't grab them off the street and chew the head off.
You never know, buddy. You know what I'm saying? You get hungry enough, you never know what you might just do. You know. But anyway, I can see her. Well, put it like this. It gave every ugly sack hope that they can, too, score with,
I guess,
someone. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, it's definitely, we can all agree that it's definitely a movie about otherness, right? And how it's hard to understand something different than us,
right?
But I do see where you're coming from, because that's gross. I was like watching that and I was like, nobody should want to have sex with a fish person.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
But he had powers.
What the message of the movie is?
He had powers, though. He had powers. He made stuff grow.
He had healing powers.
Yeah, healing powers. He regenerate. That's why I think he
makes me want to get down with him.
That's why I think she lived. No, I ain't talking about you. Come on, man. I ain't talking about you. I'm talking about a female. That might. You know what I'm saying?
If she, makes me want to get with a female fish person.
Might make y'all tingly. You know what I'm saying?
You can buy stuff to do that. Okay.
Yeah, you can, But still, that's the real deal right there.
Enough of the fish movie.
Fish sticks.
So one more time, we're going around the room. I did not like this film at all. And Dwayne.
It was all right.
And Tiffo Bob.
I recommend if you're into like artsy movies.
Yeah, it's a good date movie. Because you guys can talk about it.
Right, you can impress your girlfriend by being like, oh, I enjoy this movie.
Well, you could try that, and you might not have a girlfriend after this. So that's all I got to say. So that's going to do it for this week, man. That's this week's kind of quiet fans on patrol. This is a little artsy-fartsy movie here. That's all I was thinking the whole time. I said, this is an artsy-fartsy movie. As soon as with the Parisian music going in the background, I was like, oh, shoot. Oh, I didn't think it was going to be this. Oh, anyway. So I'm not going to have the last negative word on it. Yeah, I'm the host of Fans of Patrol. My name is Montego Bradley. It's movie time, y'all. We about to start hitting the big daddies. They starting to come rolling out. So get ready for some big blockbuster bashes going on. So with that, I'm still podcasting with my homeboy co-host.
S-M-O-O-V-E spells Dwayne. Spells smooth, not Dwayne.
I think you're right.
A little water on the brain there. A little water.
Too much of this damn movie. That's what it is.
That's what it was.
And the ever so sensitive and lovely Tifflebot.
It's been a pleasure as always.
All right. And until next week, we will be 1, 2, 3
on Patrol.